Good evening. Okay, just to confirm, indeed, Shir will be at 8 o'clock this week, Be'ez Hashem. Well, what's the difference? I was wondering, I looked a little bit into the... It's interesting that in Nissan, we don't say Tachanun. There's three halachas which are relevant to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. One is that we don't say Tachanun, one is that we say Big Salonis. But we don't say Tachanun. The question is, it's interesting, because why don't we say Tachanun? Because... one of the reasons, it's interesting that when it comes to, when it comes to Tishrei, we do say Tachanun, the few days in between, we do say Tachanun. You're saying because of the Nesim, that pulls us through, right? And if you count Tishrei, how is it going to be? You count Yom Tov.
2 days plus 8 is 10 days.
Well, 1 second. There's 10 days plus... There's 2 days of Shana, Yom Kippur.
Sukkot.
Rosh Chodesh itself.
12 days.
Yeah, you've got... I'm saying... You see that it's not Mamash Arayv. It's not Mamash Arayv. Esuchak. We take it on say Tachanun Esuchak. Salocha. Yeah. Either way, I think it's quite interesting that the Nissan, the whole month, must be more something about the month, which you don't find in Tishrei. To some extent, must be that there is something about the month which is towards Pesach. There must be something which is gearing us towards Yom Tov already, more than Hadi Yom Tovim. I'm not sure. We had to be investigated a bit further. I received this today. I know for us it's an inch. No, it's not yet outdated because we just learned it already. So it's a perfect timing for Chazal. I received this summary of the earliest Siv by Rabbi Katanka from Gate Z. He's made his most extraordinary summary of Simon Shin Samachay Siv Gimel. I've made a few copies. So if you're interested in, do you mind to, it's your uncle, so you've got double, whoever's interested to have a very, very, really well-written summary of the, I know we've moved ahead from this already, but I believe I made 5 copies or 7 copies. So with great akosotov towards Rabbi Katanka from Gateshead, okay. We are up to Simon Shin Samach Vav Seifei, just before page 462. Today we're going to be discussing a little bit about the concept of the food item which is collected and used as an eruv chatzeros. We'll be learning an interesting halacha. I would like to suggest something with regards to Lecha Mishneh. Lecha Mishneh halacha, which we'll be learning from this Gemara over here. Okay, we'll see. Good. Seif Hei, Rabbi Yisai, bottom of page, Rish, Lamed, Hei, La Aleph. Tzorich shelo yakbed shum echod mehem al eruvoi im yechlen chaveroi. It's okay, we learned so far. So again, let's just recap and summarize briefly. We learned that there is a halacha, an issa, the Chachamim established, that if a person has, if there's a chotzer and there's private houses, and a chotzer, the halacha is, although everything may be, strictly speaking, a shus yochid, I think we're going to go for the case of flats in a building. So every flat is considered a bais, and you've got the staircase, which is the equivalent of a chotzer, a courtyard, because it's public use. Yes, indeed, strictly speaking, everything is a shus yochid, because obviously the staircase is enclosed by four walls, and it's therefore, strictly speaking, a shus yochid. Nevertheless, Since it is used by a public, Chum were concerned that if you're going to carry from your flat into the staircase, people are going to, by mistake, also start carrying for, they're going to say, oh, Rabbi Kagan is carrying from the flat to the staircase. Obviously, you'll have to carry from a private domain to a public domain, and they're going to start carrying out in a genuinely private domain too, which obviously is awesome in our Torah. So, therefore, Chachamim restricted that, and he said, no, hold on a sec. We've got to make sure that this doesn't happen. And in order to ensure that this doesn't happen, Chachamim said, as a principle, it's taka osu, and it's an issa of carrying from a bais to a chatzah. But to rectify this, there's a solution, and the solution is called Eruv Chatzeres. How do you do Eruv Chatzeres? You don't do that by establishing a beam, you don't do that by establishing a lechi, but the way you establish a heta is by having a food item, which is collected by everybody. So everybody chips in a little bit towards the food item. We're going to see soon the meaning is to give a bit of flour. You give from you're a resident here, you're a resident here, you're a resident. We all give in a bit and we make bread out of this, a dough and then a bread. And then we put this in one of the people's flats. That allows that we're all in this together. We're having one big large party together. And thereby, everybody is, as long as we've done this before Shabbos, we're allowed to carry on Shabbos from the house to the staircase and vice versa. That is the halacha. Rabbi Frankel reminded us that's the halacha also if you go to a camp, like especially very common in the American camps, in American summer camps, that there is, what are they called? The bungalow colonies, that everybody's got his own little place, and then in the middle is a public area. Assuming that it is, all of Rishus Yochid, because there's a fence around it. Is that how it works? The actual physical fences? Or the Tuas HaPesach? How does it work? Okay, assuming that it is Rishus Yochid, nevertheless, you're not allowed to carry from your own bungalow into the public area, because it would appear as if you're carrying a Rishus Rabim. Therefore, you have to have an Eruv Chatzeres here again. What you're going to have to do is you take a bit of, everybody shares a bit of food, and therefore, by doing that, and you place it in one of the residents' houses, then you're allowed to carry in the public domain as well. What happens if somebody says, you know what, I don't mind, I'm a resident in one of those bungalows, or similar in a block of flat like this, and I said, you know what, actually, I don't mind if I'm giving in a bit of, and on Friday somebody's going around and collects a bit of food or money, to make a bread together. And I go and say, I don't mind if family man is going to have some food from this. I don't mind. I'm giving towards it. I don't mind if the fine gold's in the, I don't mind if the, but the Kagans, no, I'd rather not. I don't want the Kagans to have anything to do with it. For that matter, the Katankas, nothing to do. I'm happy anybody else can have access, but not if they, I don't want. What's going to be the halacha? What's going to be the halacha? Or vice versa, if the Katankas say, Patkas is no way. No, not them. Anybody but them. So what's going to be the halacha then? So the halacha is as follows. Shulchan Aruch says, and this is a very relevant halacha, we'll see why, Be'ez Hashem. Tzorich shelo yakpid shum echot mehem al eruvoi im yechlen lechaveru. You must ensure that shelo yakpid, Tzorich shelo, it must be, you have to ensure that nobody is makbit, no one from them is makbit, shal al eruvo im yachlen lechaveru. You may not have akpode, what's a good translation of akpode? Akpode. Pardon? Very good, a grudge. That you don't want this person to eat, im yachlen lechaveru, if he eats. Ve makbit, if you are makbit, if the kings will say, forget it, the patkas, if they eat it, I'm not having anything to do with it. So in makbit, any eruv, then the whole eruv is bottled. It's cancelled. The eruv doesn't work. Lochein, therefore, tzorich lizoer, we must ensure, shelo yarev bedovar shetikin atzorich haShabbos. You have to ensure, therefore, that you don't do something which, let's have my Shabbos food, I don't want anybody else to eat my Shabbos food. I don't want, it's for me, for my family, I don't want anybody else to eat it. So therefore, if you're having, you have to therefore make sure that the eruv is something which is not going to be used on Shabbos. Because if it's something which is designated, and it's meant to be used on Shabbos, then surely you don't want others to eat it. Therefore, tzorich lezoer, shelo le'arev b'dovar shetikin l'tzorich Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says over here. And therefore the halacha is, you have to make sure that you're happy that everybody eats from what you made. Mishnah Yosef Kot Lamadala, two lines from the bottom, the long lines, says follows, Shalei Akbid, Gam Kein, what's the reason for that? Metam de Eruv Shemoi, the name is, it is an Eruv, and Eruv again comes from the word of, what does Eruv mean? mixing, mixture. Eruv Shemoy, it is a mixture. Shiyu Murovin, people should be together. Umarutzim, boy, and it should be happy. And in an what's the word? An inclusive. And Shaloyim Chaecho Bechaveru, nobody protests against the other. And him, I don't want him anything to do with it. I'm not making it for him. No, that wouldn't work. We should force on Noicha Varevo. And the shutfas, the partnership should be on a happy, positive tune. Yeah.
If I'm understanding it right, you say that for the eruv to work, everyone must be prepared for everyone to share their food.
Yes.
And have the food.
And well worded, yeah.
People might have a grudge on a locus, and you mentioned that. What about the question of, often some people have humorous with regard to which hesher they're accepting.
Good.
They're eating. So what happens if some of the people in the building,
if they wouldn't eat it,
eat certain hesherim,
it's a very good question. This is a really interesting question. It's a very interesting question. So if the eruv will be made out of food items, which people wouldn't, other people would refrain from eating, it's a very good question. I think whilst we lechatchila, we certainly refrain from using questionable items, but la'aloch lemaisa, I believe there's reason to be lenient, because this is not, this is over here on a this is a personal grudge. I don't want to eat from you, you don't want to eat from me, I don't want to make it for you, you don't make it for me. So it's a different point. When it comes to a heksha, normally what he means, generally, he means that this heksha, you know, you eat it with pleasure, but I'm personally slightly more stringent and I will refrain from eating it. But that's a slight different point. It's not a personal point, it has a bit of a difference. But it is an interesting question. We carry on to evolve. Top of page 462. Ein ma'avin bepusa. So here again, aloch with regards to what is the food item which is, can be used for the eruv. See, we're learning that it cannot be a pusa. A pusa means a sliced food item. It can't be sliced. It can't be a sliced. So you can't just be stingy and give a sliced piece of bread, and that's what's going to be used for the whole ha'olam. You give a few sliced pieces of bread. No, that's not good enough. Even if it's very big, even if it's very large, he mustn't be a sliced item. Avol b'shleima, but if it is whole and it's complete, that will work. Afilu k'tana ma'oid, even if it is tiny, ma'arvin, you're allowed to use as the eruv. So, provided, ulvad, sheyeh bo'em kol kach, sheyeh bo'em kashir. There must be a shear in it. Now, what a shear is, we'll discuss later, but there must be a shear. Once we know the shear, it's fine, it's a tiny amount. And then it's okay, even if it's a tiny, what are those mini, what are those called? You can get them in Kozinski, you know, the tiny, very small breads, what are they called?
Mini rolls,
the tiny mini rolls. Sometimes they're cut for, you know, by the Kiddush, they're cut in bridge, yeah, tiny bridge, that's right, bridge roll. So that's fine. It's as long as the shear is there, it's okay. But if you have even a very large but sliced piece of bread, that will not work. It needs to be complete. Now, what's the reason for that? Why is it good if it's complete and small, but not good if it's sliced and big? Mishnah Berurah and Seif Katan, Lamed Zayin, four lines from the top, says as follows. Bepusa Mishum Eva. It's again for personal objections. Shevoni de Machlokes, it will lead to a Machlokes. Look how careful we are, that we don't want people to have to get into disagreement. Shema, Haninos and Shlema, Vato Pusa. He said, come on, that's not fair. I gave a whole challah, and all you're giving is a slice? What nonsense is this? Ah, oh, so unfair. You're just a stingy old fellow. And why not a bit more generous? I'm giving whole, you're giving a slice, that's not right. So therefore we're saying, no, we're not even going to start going to Machlokes. Once it's whole, so if one is a bit bigger, one is a bit smaller, people will be moichel. Yeah, it's okay. It's true. In a way, imagine this big chalas that we have by the chasnas. You know, this extra large chalas, and then somebody's giving one of those tiny bijul. Now, people say, you know, it's okay. He's having a rough time at the moment. He's giving a smaller one. And I'm, Baruch Hashem, a bit more generous nowadays. I'm having a good financial year. I'm going to go for the large. But at the end of the day, people have a bit more understanding. But once it comes to a slice, it's a bit stingy. Well, the slice, that's all you're giving to the, towards the public. That's all you can pull off. So that's why it's going to bring to machlokes. Even if there's a public agreement that everybody's going to end up giving slices, we are concerned, no, this is going to end up being a machlokes. So here we go, that slices are no good, and full whole breads, that's what we need to give in. Now, Mishnah Shulchan Aruch tells us a fascinating halacha, and I wonder if this has to do with halachas of Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos. I wonder, because that's what I heard. However, im nital memenu kidei chalas nachtoim, if one piece is missing from this chalem, kidei chalas nachtoim, which is shu echad ma'aboim veshmoina, if 1/48 is missing of this whole chalem, me'arvin bo, you may make an eruv. So we're learning now that if 1/48 is missing, percentage please, gentlemen, GCSEs, A-levels, maths, come on. How much is 1/48? It's about 1.2% of the challah is missing. That's okay. We'll be all right with that. We're not going to make a machlokes out of that. If there's 1.2, yeah, is that it? 1.2%. Just under 2%? 1.9. Oh, yeah, it must be 4. Yeah, 1/48. Yeah, it's just under 2. Yeah. But that 1/48 of the challah is missing, we're not going to make a fuss. And that's acceptable. Why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that. Kidei challahs nachtam perish afilu in sholem shari. Even if it's not complete, it's fine. A little bit has come off. 1/48 has come off, and that's acceptable. Now, let's just finish off the Shulchan Aruch before we proceed. What if a piece, a substantial piece of the challah is missing? So it's nifras, so it's come off. You've connected the kisam with a toothpick or with a... It doesn't have to be a toothpick. It can be like a little piece of... Imagine you've got a bit of... You know what those are called? That for if you want to check if the cake is ready or not, what are those called? Pardon? Okay. Yeah, you put them in and then you connect the piece of challah that's come off. You connect it and you stick it back in, and that's how you're taking back the missing piece of the challah. You're attaching it like this artificially, and it would appear from the outside that it looks okay. If nifus of it's come off, v'chibro, you've connected the bekisam with the toothpick. Sheichnis akotze ha'echad, you've put one side ha'echad b'suich ha'pas into the bread. V'akotze ha'sheni b'suich ha'pus, and the other side you're sticking on the fallen off piece of bread, part of the bread. Himenu nikos shenifus, if it's not recognizable that it's come off, ma'avim bo, you're allowed to make an eruv. So we're learning over here: if something has been disconnected and you're artificially connecting it back to the baked challah, if you can't see from the outside, before you touch, it looks like it's perfectly all right, then it's okay. But once it's come off properly and it still looks a bit shaky and dodgy, then you can't use that for Eruv. Yeah.
Am I right in that the foods are put in the common parts of a block of flour?
Yeah.
So what happens?
Well, wait, it has to be kept. No, it has to be kept in one of the houses, in one of the flats.
Oh, it is in one of the
Yes. flats. As opposed to Shittim Havos, which we'll still discuss. But what we're learning now, yes, it has to be put in one of the flats. Now, some Rabbonim want to say that this may be used, this halacha may be used for a very different area of halacha altogether. They want to say that, do you ever have problems with your Lechem Mishneh, with your challahs? That some part comes off, like a little bit. You're looking at the Lechem Mishneh, and whilst we all know that it doesn't have to be as complete as an Esek, yeah, but still, you want to make sure that there is no big pieces missing. And if it's missing, Sholem is Alok, you know, Lechem Mishneh needs to be Sholem. It needs to be Sholem. So if you've got, it's quite common that a bit of the Challah is missing, could you argue that if 1/48 is missing, or less is missing, then it's okay. As we're seeing over here, just like by Hilchas Eruv, if 1/48 of the challah is missing, or less, we're saying that it's complete, and it's fine, and it's accepted, it's not a problem. And if it's more than that, it is a problem. So perhaps also when it comes to Lechem Mishneh, if the challah has got 1/48 of less or less missing, we're also going to say that it's okay. Because remember that Lechem Mishneh is sometimes you take it off the bag and you look at it, or and you look at it and say, oh, there's actually quite, you know, something is cut, something is broken, something is... Would you argue that 2% of the challah is okay? Oh, matz is even, well, that's right. You're right. Even challah is even worse. Hey, if it's cracked off, the it's very. If you've got whatever it is, if it's hand matzahs or machine matzahs, it's very common. You could sometimes go through a whole box if you're eating machine matzahs, and they're all machine even hand matzahs even worse. And yes, we know Reb Shlomo Zalman has got a kula that you put them over the fire, and that's considered cholim. I know there's such a kula of Reb Shlomo Zalman. But if you leave this out, then you've got matzahs which are cracked a little bit. Imagine the time. So it's not sholem, you can't make lechem mishneh. You can't make lechem mishneh. You can't make. Pardon?
No, unless they were wrapped in cotton wool.
And even cotton wool, yeah. So would you be able to hold that if it's less than 1/48, with the matzah it's very good, you're right. With matzahs it's very, could be a very good cooler. You bought them and you opened them up already?
I kept them in the car.
Somewhere safe, and then you see what happens, yeah. So, Rabbi Yisrael, is this a comparison, yes or no? There's no evil there, correct. Yeah. So you're saying that, and therefore what? So therefore, it won't work. The kula won't work by Lechem Mishneh. Yes, I agree. I also see there's no comparison. Here the sholem is yeah, that's right, I agree with you fully. L'chayre, you can't compare. The reason why we need the sholem over here is because once it's not complete, people are going to be jealous and they're going to be, the machlokes will start. Like we saw by the sliced. Yeah, slice, you're giving a slice, I'm giving a whole, it's not right. So if somebody gives a half a chal, a cut chal, or a slice, people are going to start saying, that's not fair, that's not an eruv, it's not fair. We're not going to, you know, you're giving more, I'm giving less, it's not fair, it's going to cause a machlokes. That, if it's a tiny thing has come off, nobody's going to start being so fussy. But when it comes to Lechem Mishneh, the halacha needs to be sholem. So it could be that it's more stringent. And therefore, the halacha of 1/48 would not apply there. Says the Ramah, what is the minig lemaisa? What says the Ramah? The Ramah says, what is the halacha lemaisa, the minig, the custom which was widespread? Says the Ramah. But I must say, Rabbi Fangel, that some people want to compare it. But I agree with you. I don't see the comparison at all. Okay, Ve'eshepir Shoha, the Ein Me'avin, Rag Be'Pas Sholem. Some say that when we said it needs to be a Pas Sholem, Hainu Shekolo Eiru B'Yachad Ye Pas Sholem. Some say that the meaning is that you're using one pas, one bread for the entire community. That's the way to do it. Not that everybody gives a piece of bread, a challah, a roll, individually, and all of them together becomes the eruv. No, no, no. The way to do it is that everybody joins in for one large bread. Lochein, therefore, nagu, the custom is, lekabeit, to gather, mikol bais vebais, from every single flat or house, me'at kamach, a little flour, ve'oisin, and they bake, challah achas, one large challah, shlema, complete, ume'arvin ba, and that is what is being used for the eruv. People will not give bread, individuals don't give single items, but people give flour. You give a bit of flour, you give a bit of flour, you give a bit of flour, I give a bit of flour, somebody makes a challah out of this, or bread out of this, and that's what's being used as an eruv. One challah, or one bread, for everyone. And that is the custom in all those countries. And one has to be careful. We have to ensure that the shear is fulfilled, which is discussed later in Siman Shin Samaches. And although there may be some leftovers of the flour, and there was some leftovers and some could, we didn't need all of it for making the bread, some was left over. Nevertheless, it is an eruv. It doesn't matter that some is not being used. It's a bit like when somebody's mezakeh for others. It doesn't matter if some is not being used. Would you say that you gave some challah and I didn't need it? Excuse me. You gave some flour, I didn't need it. You gave some flour, I didn't need it. I didn't need it. Note the pun. Yeah, I didn't need it. I didn't need it. So if that be a problem, would you say that since your flour was not needed, therefore it's not, you're not part of the eruv? No, you're not going to say that. It doesn't matter because you gave it willingly, and although your very flour was not used, nevertheless it's still considered an eruv for everybody, and you can still carry it individually. So that's what the Gemara says. That's the minhag, and the minhag is that we give in flour and we make one big large bread out of this, and that's what's being used for the eruv, and everybody uses that. Good. Rabbi said, just to summarize what we have covered this evening, b'siyata d'ishmaya, we learned that you may not carry in the eruv. You may not use if you don't want others to use it. Even one individual within the community, you don't want him. I don't want anything. I don't want him to enjoy my bread. So then the whole eruv is cancelled. It doesn't work because everybody must be willingly sharing with everybody within that tzibur. We also learned that you may not use sliced pieces, even if it's very large, but only whole parts. And the reason for that is because of may cause machloikas. If it's whole, even if it's very small, that's acceptable, as long as you've got a shear, which will be discussed later. We learned that if 1/48 is missing, that doesn't matter. And we also learned that if it's come off, a piece is broken off, and you've connected it and attached it by means of a toothpick, that's fine. If it's not recognizable, then it's fine. We also learned that the meaning is that everybody gives in a bit of flour, and bread is made out of this, and bread is baked out of this, and if everybody gives in a bit of flour, then everybody's done their part towards it. That's the way to make an eruv, and that's the minhag, and that's the lechatchila. And even if some of the flour has not been used, nevertheless, everybody can carry that. It's considered everybody's eruv. Fine, this is for this evening. Good evening, Abayis. Good evening.